Pam and Andrew, thank you all very much. How beautiful is the body of Christ. Wow, what a piece of music. Hope you have your Bibles and you've got them open or will to Matthew chapter 15. As I told you, I want to talk to you about great faith moms this morning. Because I believe in these days in the 21st century, we need great faith moms. We all know that being a mom is not easy. It's a 24/7 position. And for many moms in these difficult economic days, they must balance now a career with raising children. Plus, we live in a society filled with single parents. And as we've already stated, the majority of those single parents, the kids are being raised by their moms. So moms, I honor you today. I watched Connie as she and I raised Michael and Bethany. And I watched the work and the ministry that she did in spending time with our children. And I tried to write down the jobs that Connie had as mama. And I came up with a bunch: chauffeur, referee, sportscaster. You ever watch the mom at the ball field with her kids? Connie was, you know, she was Larry Munson on that. Umpire. Be with mother when the pitch is wrong. Encourager, family counselor, disciplinarian, maintenance lady, cook, housekeeper, interior decorated, and with Michael and Bethany, our decorations changed frequently. Bookkeeper, dietitian, secretary, hostess, shopper, consoler, water lady at the ball games, a discipler, and a friend. And in addition to all that, she was the wife of a pastor of a Southern Baptist church. I don't see how she did it then. I don't see how she puts up with me now. Folks, pressure in being a mom is not something new. I think of Eve, blamed for original sin. Remember, Adam ate the fruit too. But she had one son who killed his brother. Hagar, do you remember Abraham's handmaiden had a son by him? She was sent away by Abraham, her boy Ishmael, and they almost died in the desert. And what about Jochebed, the mother of Moses? The Egyptians were killing all the male Hebrew babies to curb the population. Pharaoh instilled that. What did Jochebed do? She placed Moses in a basket and let it loose on the river. Talking about pressure. Had to give up her son. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus, where there wasn't any room for them in the inn, and they had to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath? Jesus went missing in the temple, and of course she faced her son's passion and death on the cross. And at our story in our scripture this morning, that Canaanite woman who is unnamed, she had a daughter, the Bible says, that was severely demon-possessed. But yet the scripture calls this mother a mom of great faith. So let's read about this nameless Canaanite Gentile woman. And let's discover together how to become and how to be a great faith mom. Begins in verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. If you look at the Sea of Galilee on a map, Tyre and Sidon is the coastal region to really the north-northwest. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So moms and dads and grandmas and granddads, I want to ask you something. What can we learn on this Mother's Day from these few verses of how we can all become great faith people, and in particular directed to our moms, great faith moms. I am convinced the Lord in these scriptures showing us three biblical truths on how it happens. And if you're going to be a great faith mom, if you're going to be a great faith person, you're going to have to be willing and learn to do these three things. And here's the first one. You're going to have to be willing to cry out to God. You're going to have to learn and be willing to cry out to God. That's what she did. Jesus had fed the 5,000. He had walked on the sea. He had calmed the storm. And many were being brought to him for healing. And news of his healing was spreading throughout the region. And at the same time, the scribes and the Pharisees sought to catch Jesus in a theological trap. So Jesus got away from that region to the region north-northwest, the Tyre and Sidon, the Gentile region of the coast. And he was deliberately withdrawing to the borders of the Gentile country. He needed that time to be quiet, to prepare both himself and the disciples for what was ahead. And the only place he could find that kind of freedom from the crowds and from his opponents was in this northern area that borderlined the Gentile territory. No Jew was likely to enter that area. And so into that context comes our mama. And the Bible says that she cried out to the Lord. But I want you to notice in verse 21 and 22 what it says right here. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, cried out to him, saying, she didn't ask for her daughter to be healed. If you notice throughout this whole scripture, she never once asked for the healing of her daughter. What does she ask for in this first thing? She asks the Lord to have mercy on me. Now, this lady's a Gentile. She did not know Jesus as the Messiah. Look what it says. She says, have mercy on me, not Messiah. It says, O Lord, what? Son of David. She saw Jesus as a great miracle worker. She saw Jesus as the divine healer of hundreds of people. And she was desperate. She cried out to God like never before. She had apparently heard that the Jews expected a Messiah, a son of the great King David, who was to work miracles for them. She had heard about Jesus, that he was delivering people from sicknesses and healing them. And however, seeing Jesus only as a miracle worker and healer is an inadequate concept of him. But yet, that's in the beginning what this lady was doing. But one thing I want you to see. She cried out to God. We need great faith moms who are willing to get on their face before God and cry out to God on behalf of their family, their children, and all the people of God's church like never before in the 21st century. That word cry out is a word that means to wail. It means to scream, literally in the Greek. It means to shout. So the Bible says that this Canaanite woman, though she saw Jesus only as the son of David, she was shouting to him. She was crying out to him. That was never done by a Jew. And to be done by a Gentile was unheard of. She was taking her life in her own hands. But she did it. For one thing, the worship of her gods in the Canaanite faith forbade her to worship literally the one true living God. And for her to cry out to God, Yahweh God, would be considered an act of treason. But God was gracious. He knew her heart, every thought and every movement. He knew what she needed in order for her to be brought around to the understanding of who Jesus was as Messiah. And therefore, what did he begin to do? He began to lead her step by step in understanding his lordship and confessing her faith in the humble and worship spirit. But I want you to see something this morning. She cried out. Do you see what she cried out for? She did not cry out for her daughter to be healed. Thought that was very interesting. Like I say, not one place in those verses do you see her crying out for her daughter to be healed. What did she say? Verse 20, and behold, have mercy on who? Read it from the screen. Me. Not on my daughter who is severely demon-possessed. She's coming to Jesus as the Son of David, and she's crying out. The gut of her body literally is coming out in a shout, in a cry to God. She is pleading with him, have mercy on me. Now, that little word mercy in the Greek language is not the word grace. It simply is a word that means to show kindness or concern for someone in serious need. Do you see this? She is acknowledging the fact that Jesus can heal. She is looking to him and seeking. She does not understand it yet. She doesn't see him as Messiah, but she's crying out to God. The first step toward becoming a great faith moms is moms who will realize we need to cry out to God for his mercy for us, folks. Moms who will get on their knees. But she cried out to God literally for herself. And it was a cry like never, ever, ever before. And I know many of your stories in this house this morning. I know there are many moms in this place that have cried and to this day are crying out to God on behalf of themselves and do the task of parenting. You see, we remain as parents, however how old our children get. There's nothing that can ever deny the fact I am Michael and Bethany Cheek's father. That will never change on this earth. And I have that responsibility not only of parenting them as a dad the minute they are born and 9 months before they are born, but until the day I die on this earth. And even after my death, I will still be their earthly father. But this lady had a genuine cry of concern, a cry for help, but she needed more. She needed more. Moms, let's take that and cry out to God on behalf of our kids like never before. All you have to do is turn on the TV, look at the newspaper, and look around you and see the world in which we live. Moms, we need you to cry out to God on all our behalves. We need to hear you like my praying mom in that bedroom and my praying father in that bedroom and throughout their house. We need to know that you're crying out to God on behalf of God's people, your husband, your children, and all those in your family. The first thing, if you're going to be a great faith mom, learn to cry out to God from your gut. That's the only way I know to describe that word. It is a cry to God that starts from the depths of the center of your heart and emanates and cries to God. But there's a second thing you need to do. If we're going to be a great faith mom, if we're going to be a great faith person, we're going to have to learn to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Now, folks, it's just wonderful to say Jesus is Lord. Everybody in this house who can speak could say that right now. But does it get from our brain 12 inches down to our heart? The word Lord in the Greek is a word called kurios. It means master. It means one we are completely devoted to. It means one where we focus, not glance, but focus our attention, as did Peter on the water walking toward Jesus. But so often in our lives, what happens is we, like Peter, take our focus off of the Lord Jesus. And then what happens to us, folks? We start sinking down in the water. We've got to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. We live in a world that teaches that he is a great prophet, perhaps, a good man, but not his Lord. The earliest Christian confession ever written was Jesus is Lord. But if we're going to make that confession in our life, we must live like it. And folks, I don't know about you, that sometimes is the hardest thing in the world to do. Because the minute you start putting the Lord first, who comes after you? Satan and the demons of hell itself. The closer you get to the Lord, the madder you make the devil, the harder it becomes to live the Christian life. And you know the sad part? Satan's got so many Christians exactly where he wants them, sitting right there on that fence. We're comfortable. We're relaxed. Don't mess up the status quo. Don't turn the heat up. Don't turn the air down. Keep the light. I mean, you just do it. We're comfortable. You know what I think is happening, and I believe in my heart? I believe God's waking up his people. Those have been sleeping on the fence for so long, God's even like having them like Eutychus, falling out the window on the other side of the fence, or he's waking them up and they're waking themselves up under God. And what's happening in their life is they're beginning to realize, we've got to change. We've got to get on fire. No longer can we be silent. No longer can we keep our mouth shut. The Bible says, come out from among this world and be separate, says the Lord. If we're going to say Jesus is Lord, we're going to have to stick out in this community and become a revolutionary for Jesus. People are going to have to look at us and say, something's wrong with that guy. He's just weird. I hope they do. But if we're going to be a great faith mom, we got to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Now let me show you something in the scripture. Verse 23, but he answered not a word. You think Jesus being, I'm not going to say anything to her. No. He wanted this lady to admit and understand who he was. And the disciple says, send her away, for she cries after us. You didn't do that. No Jew, especially not a Gentile. And so he said, listen, my mission is sent to the sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus is simply making a point here. He's not trying to throw something in her face. He wants her to think. And boy, she started thinking. And look at verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, and she said, Lord. Now her question changed, didn't it? It's not a question that says, have mercy on me. Word's gone. What's it say? Lord, help me. Things are changing for this lady. Things are beginning to look a little different for her. She saw him in the beginning as the son of David. And now in verse 25, she is acknowledging Jesus as Lord, because she says, this time, don't have mercy per se. It's more than just simply be kind to me, Lord. That's what she asked the first time. The second time is, Lord, help me. Translate the word in English, Lord, save me. If we're going to be a great faith mom, we need to be sure of our salvation. None of this, I hope so. None of this, I think I might. We'll see. I know. The Bible says, these things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And this lady said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, help me. That's what Jesus needed to hear. That's exactly what he wanted her to understand. She never asked Jesus again to heal her daughter. The heart and attitude is changing now and has changed. She sees Jesus as Lord and everything changes. And what happens as a result of that? She worshiped him. She literally worshiped him. Look at verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him. The word worship means fall on my face, fall prostrate, literally on my face before God. And that's what she did. She worshiped him as never before. So here's a lady, an unnamed woman, that comes up to Jesus and first of all cries out to him, thinking and believing and seeing him only as the son of David. And then things begin to change. You know, I think it was the eyes of Jesus looking at that woman. I think you can't look into the eyes of Jesus and your heart not be changed. Because you look in the eyes of Jesus, folks, you see yourself as the sinful, old, dirty person you are that needs cleaning up. And Jesus was fixed to clean her up like never before. And she looked up and she says, Lord, Lord. help me. Great faith moms acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And our Canaanite woman, the nameless lady, did that very thing. Great faith moms cry out to God. They acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And there's one more thing I want to say before we close. In verses 26 through 28, a great faith mom will model spiritual surrender and humility. Spiritual surrender and humility. These three verses have really been debated over the years. But I believe it is a picture of extreme, extreme humility, extreme surrender. The Lord said, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He was picturing a family gathered at mealtime around the table, eating food provided by the head of the household. And the Gentile woman saw herself in this picture. She was not a child in the family of Israel, eligible for the choicest foods, should we say. But she saw herself as a dog. And the Jews often referred to the Gentiles as dogs. Eligible to eat and receive the crumbs that might fall from the master's table. What was she doing? The Canaanite woman was showing us in the 21st century on Mother's Day how to model spiritual surrender and humility. And I use the term spiritual surrender. We've messed up this word surrender. Surrender is not waving the white flag. Lord, I give up. You can have it. That's not the surrender I'm talking about. The surrender I'm talking about this morning is a surrender of our heart and soul in complete dependence on God. When David wrote of the shepherd boy and his relationship to God, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never want for anything again whatsoever." It is a surrender in the heart of a mom and in the heart of a child of God that has a passion to pray, "Lord, whatever you want's what I want." And that lady says, "I am a dog, but Lord, I'd be willing to eat just the crumbs that fall off your table." Wow, can you see humility? The Jews ate the choicest of food. And this lady was willing to eat simply the crumbs. We live in a world today that teaches number one is the most important. And number one is the one we take care of at the expense of all stuff and anybody. Yet the Word of God does not only teach, it commands that we give it all up in spiritual surrender to God. Not a white flag, but a giving up of ourselves to God like never before. And moms, we need you to surrender in these last days like never before in your life. We need you to cry out to God. We need you to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. We need you to model spiritual surrender and humility. You remember the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say? I know you thought perhaps I'd preach a sermon on the healing of that lady's daughter. What happened as a result of the faith of our nameless Canaanite woman? Look at verse 28, the last part of verse 28. And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith." There's only two people that the Lord said their faith was great in the Bible. Number one was this lady. Number two is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, the centurion. The Roman guard. And he said, "Let it be to your desire," the Lord said. And look at the last part of verse 28. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What's that mean? If we learn to cry out to God, if we acknowledge Him as Lord of our life, and we model spiritual surrender and humility like never before, you talking about the power of God. Strap your seatbelt on, because you've just opened the door for the power of God in your life. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me. It could very well be not changing that $5 bill into a $5,000 bill. We hear too much of this stuff preached on our TVs. That if you get right with God, God's just going to send you $10,000. Well, folks, he might. But I want to tell you, it's God's will what God does. And what was God's will in this situation? What did he do? He healed this lady. Why? Because she learned to cry out. She learned to acknowledge him constantly. When you acknowledge Lord, Jesus as Lord, it is a continual acknowledgement. It's just not a one-time thing. You acknowledge him as Lord when you come to him and you ask him to forgive you of your sin, and you realize that without him, you are a dirty, rotten, anything, sin-covered human being. But then when Jesus takes a hold of you through the power of his shed blood on the cross, he takes that sin and obliterates it. It'll never be remembered to you again. Even at the judgment, when you die, you won't stand at the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. You'll stand at the Bema judgment of God and be judged not for your sin, but for what you did for God's kingdom. Then this lady taught us, folks, how to model spiritual surrender with our hands to God and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I am, everything you want, I want. I'll give it all to you, literally. That's what I want. That's great faith moms in the 21st century. Literally. How about you? I failed on all three, did you? Working on it. And that's what God wants. It's a willing heart. Perhaps this week, folks, cry out to God. It may be a next door neighbor. You know, it may be a coworker. It may be a school friend. Cry out to God on their behalf. Intentionally acknowledge Jesus as Lord, literally, in your life and by what you do, and stick out like a sore thumb in this world, and then model spiritual surrender to those around you. That to me is the hardest because of the world that we live in, but model spiritual surrender like never before. Let this world see that without a doubt, you are sold out to Jesus. Moms, I thank God for you. I thank God for what you mean to all of us, what you teach and what you've taught us. But we all have a work to do, folks. But you know, that Canaanite woman now has got a name. And it's a name God gave her because when she entered heaven, remember what the Bible says? I give you a new name. Wow. That's what God does. Let's pray. Father, on this Mother's Day, may we all learn from this dear lady how to come to you and cry out in faith. And how through your word, Lord Jesus, her life was changed. She saw you as Messiah, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Savior, the giver of salvation. And Father, she fell down and worshiped him. And then she went out and modeled spiritual surrender. Lord, I often think after that encounter that day, when she returned back to her family, I'm sure they were blown away because it was a different lady that showed up from a lady that went out prior to. And you know, I pray the same thing for all of us today. As we meet with our families, as we get together, as we go places throughout this day on Mother's Day, may people be able to say, ooh, he's different, she's different. May they, like never before, see Jesus in us. And so, Lord, as we close this service, we just come to worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. I want you to stand very quietly with us. Karen's going to lead us in our time of invitation. And this becomes an altar of praise, an altar of worship. And just commit yourself to those three things of that lady this morning. Commit yourself to following Jesus like never before. Commit yourself to being a great faith child of God. Would you? Let's sing, Karen.